Certainly the resurrection wasn't the beginning of bringing forth the kingdom of God. That had been happening ever since sin had gotten in the way and people had become separated from God. People were created in the image of God and to be in a relationship with God. But there's so many different things that get in the way. Certainly the disciples had come to learn that their purpose in life, their hope for the future, the things that they were called to do and to be a part of, it was all rooted in their relationship with Jesus. But suddenly that purpose was lost when Jesus ended up being cast out of the city, up onto that hill where He'd give His life. And when He was laid to rest in the tomb and He was sealed behind that stone, they didn't know what to do next. Some were driven by guilt and shame to run from the city, to run from the situation. Others were driven by fear to lock the doors so that the leaders who were becoming upset about what might have happened might not be able to get them. And I also can't help but wonder if maybe those doors weren't locked to keep Jesus out. Because what was it going to mean when they had to encounter Him again for the first time? Knowing that these disciples had turned away from Him when He needed them the most. But yet, in the middle of it all, Jesus walks back into their life, one by one, two by two, one group at a time, calling them to bring forth of the kingdom of God, telling them to go out into the world and to begin to do the things that He had taught them to do over the last 3.5 years. But He also would begin to tell them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit that was going to really empower them to do something new. But in John's Gospel, they taste that Holy Spirit. And He breathes on them the Holy Spirit, as we read earlier. And He calls them to go and to forgive, just as they had been forgiven. And so they step out in faith in a new direction. I want to share with you another scripture, another encounter, if you will, of that resurrected Christ. This takes place on a road to Emmaus. A village. Emmaus is a village that's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And here's these two fellows that have headed off to be there. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" He asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers, they handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. But we had hoped He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find His body early. They came and they told us that they'd seen a vision of angels. These angels said He was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb. And they found it just as the women had said, but Him they didn't see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into His glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if He were going farther. But they urged Him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So He went to stay with them. And when He was at the table with them, He took the bread. He gave thanks, He broke it, and He began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning from within us while He walked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us. They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them. They were assembled together and they were saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the 2 told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. And may God continue to bless the reading, the hearing, and the coming alive in our understanding of the Scriptures and in our lives. It's interesting, Cleopas and this other fellow, they're walking along the road. They're headed to Emmaus. And I wonder what was there. Was it a place they were familiar with? A place that held the promise of a future? Or was it just another way to get out of Jerusalem? To get away from all that happened and from the chaos and the way that it didn't make sense. And it's interesting to note that in the middle of Luke's Scripture, it becomes clear that they had heard about the resurrection. They had heard from the women. They had heard that some of the others had gone there and seen that the tomb was empty. But yet, rather than staying to find out for themselves what was going on, they make an exodus and head for Emmaus. But somewhere along the way, they're surprised by this visitor who comes and walks alongside of them. He pretends that he doesn't know what has happened when he's the one who knows more intimately than anyone what has happened. And he listens to their story and he listens to their struggles. He says, but isn't it kind of foolish and how slow of heart you are to believe that all these things didn't have to happen? Don't you remember? Don't you remember what He told you? Don't you remember what the Scriptures have said? And so He went all the way back to Moses. It's a good thing they had a long walk ahead of them, because there was a whole lot of history that Jesus had to explain. Not for the first time, because He'd done it many times before. But patiently and lovingly, He explains it all again. Didn't the Christ have to suffer these things? Didn't He have to die on the cross? And there lies a key to the confusion for these disciples. Jesus says, didn't the Christ have to suffer? Didn't the Messiah, didn't the Son of God have to go through this? But these two hadn't quite figured that out yet. When He asked them what was happening, He said, well, haven't you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? He was a wonderful prophet. He was powerful in word and in deed. He did all these amazing things for people. And He taught these amazing lessons. And all these miracles happened when He was around. And God was happy with Him. And the people were happy with Him. Or at least some of the people were. There were the others who wanted to crucify Him. And they were able to sway the popular vote in the end. But they'd missed the fact that He was the Son of God. They'd missed the fact that He was the Christ. They'd missed the fact that He was the Messiah. But little did they know when those words came from their lips that they were about to realize it again in a very personal way. And as Jesus unfolded their Scripture, something happened deep down in their guts, deep down in their soul, deep down in their very being. There was a fire that just began to burn and it warmed them from the inside out. There was just something so incredible about this conversation that it would change their entire life. And as soon as they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread, in a moment that was very familiar to them because Jesus had broken bread with them many times before. Jesus broke bread while He was teaching. Jesus broke bread while He was healing. He broke bread around the campfire. And He broke bread when He gathered for the Passover and other feasts with those that He loved. So it was a familiar moment where they recognized Him. But the minute they did, He was gone. But even that didn't matter this time. When He disappeared, they didn't continue to Emmaus. They didn't continue to walk towards whatever it is they were going to or run from whatever it is they were running from. They turned around and hightailed it right back to Jerusalem. Because they had to tell somebody what they'd seen. This was just too big to keep for themselves. They found a resurrection purpose. They found a whole new meaning to life. and the world would become a different place because of it. Our lives would become a different place, become different because of it. Where have you encountered the resurrected Christ in your life and on your journey? Have you been walking from trials and tragedies, walking towards something that would be better? And suddenly God has appeared in different ways along the way? I'm betting you have. When you think about it, when you look back over the years of your life, learning how to tell that story, learning how to share that with others is something that's really important. In fact, it's a part of our purpose in life. Sometimes it's done in the quiet and most unsuspecting ways when we don't even know it's happening. Sometimes it's in poems, sometimes it's in pictures, sometimes it's in dramas, sometimes it's just by spending time with one another that God shows up and does a new thing. As we journey into this Easter season, as we continue to look at the risen Christ, I want you to think in this week ahead how God has changed direction for you from time to time. You know, I couldn't help but, as I was reading that and thinking about how these two just changed direction in their life, I couldn't help but think about the Christmas story. The wise men, they set off to find Jesus and to find the Christ child. And when they finally find Him, and they finally see Him for themselves, they were supposed to go back and to tell Herod about it. But God said, no, I want you to go in a different direction. And He sent them home by another way. God's been doing that all along, and God continues to do that today. Where is God meeting you right now? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Good and gracious God, You're a God who pours out Your love down through the ages, and even death can't separate us from the love that You have for us, for the love that You have for this world. Even when we cast You out, even when we wander away, there You are, walking back into our lives, reaching out Your hand again. Lord, forgive us for the times we take Your grace for granted. Forgive us for the times that we don't even recognize Your presence among us. But Lord, let the scales from our eyes fall away. Let the blinders be taken off. Let our hearts become more open to Your presence in our lives every day. Lord, You know the doors that we've locked. You know the things that we would put in place to keep You away because we're not sure what to do with Your promise to be with us always. Lord, walk through those walls. Walk through those doors. Walk into those situations where we're not sure that You would even be able to come. Lord, as we continue to walk on our journey through life together, as we continue to talk about the things that are happening in our lives and in the world around us, we pray that You, as the risen Christ, will come and walk with us and make Your presence known in fresh new ways every day. And that, Lord, You continue to change the directions that we go. That You continue to give us a clearer purpose in life. That You continue to help us to find ways to tell the story of You and Your love to a world that is broken and hurting and needs to know that You're coming back to be with us again. Lord, as always, we ask these things, not knowing for sure what lies next and what lies ahead, but knowing for sure that Your love is greater than the things that we encounter in life. So we put our trust in You, we put our hope in You, and we look forward to what You and You alone can do. As we ask these things and so much more, in Jesus' resurrected name, Amen.